Thank Lynn for those songs that he led. And you know, it really is true. We do need God every hour. We sang in that song, Abide With Me. But what a thought it is to be held in the hollow of God's hand. And we're going to talk tonight a little bit from the Psalms, what the Psalms have to say to help us with depression. This is what I call part two of dealing with depression. And I've entitled it, A Very Present Help in Time of Trouble. And we'll talk about first seeking the Lord. But first, I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I'd also like to thank the elders for allowing me the opportunity to bring a lesson to you from God's Word. So very much appreciate that. Many of you who are here tonight, we're here to hear part one of this study on depression. I want to thank you for your very kind attention and your great patience. So as I mentioned, this will be part two in our series of lessons on depression. There may yet be another lesson, Lord willing. If there's someone here that did not get to hear part one who can hear a broken spirit, I would encourage you to either go to sjchurchofchrist.com and listen, or request a copy of it to listen to on CD. There may be some things I covered in part one that you may not hear me address in this lesson, or in what I hope, Lord willing, maybe part three sometime in the future. This is a sensitive topic, but one that I feel needs to be addressed in light of the Scriptures. And that's what I am humbly attempting to do, aided by some personal experience with depression on my part. I certainly do not believe that I have all the answers when it comes to depression. And I hope no one gets that idea. There are widely varying experiences among people who struggle with or have gone through depression in the past. It would be very difficult to cover all the different ways that depression affects all different kinds of people and how to deal with it. I'm simply trying to make some points that I believe the Bible and my personal experience seem to indicate would apply to many of the cases of depression, generally speaking, and provide some help from a scriptural standpoint, which I think is very important. So in this lesson, we will focus almost exclusively on words of wisdom from the Psalms in considering how to deal with depression. I would encourage you to follow along as best as you can in your Bibles. We may go through the Scriptures a little too quickly for you to keep up at some point. But if you'd like to, go ahead and open up to the Psalms and keep your Bible open there. This will be our home base for this lesson, even though I've included a few passages from elsewhere in the Bible too. We'll keep coming back to the Psalms throughout our study. There are many other references in Psalms, besides what I cover in this lesson, to what might seem to be depression or a broken spirit, at least being distressed or cast down. But I've just gathered together what seemed to me to be some of the best and most helpful passages from the Psalms. This lesson is in no way meant to include all of the passages from the Psalms which might be found to help someone who's depressed. I would encourage anyone who's dealing with depression or discouragement to read all of the Psalms, and you'll find great treasures of wisdom and encouragement from the Lord. So, also, we won't be able to go through the entire lesson that I was hoping to go through in its entirety this evening, but we will cover seek, which is the first point. But let's just begin now. Talking about, kind of get warmed up, how is God identified, or how is He addressed throughout Psalms? We'll see He's identified in many different ways. And some of the ways that He is identified or addressed include being called my shield and deliverer, the God of my life, my rock and my fortress, the help of my countenance and my God, the God of my strength, the God of my salvation, my defense and my refuge, and my salvation. What an amazing collection of titles, names, or qualities that describe our Lord. We know from reading many of these passages in the Psalms that our God is a personal God. He is my God. The psalmist writes, pleading with Him, O Lord my God. This is what our relationship with Him should be. Close, loving, heartfelt, spilling out our very deepest thoughts and feelings, fears and troubles to Him, not afraid to ask for His help. And we know James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to me, and He will draw near to you. The way the psalmist speaks of God speaks to the trust and the faith he has in the Lord, and that I should have in Him too. When I make Him my God by putting Him and His Word in my heart, trusting completely in Him, serving Him faithfully, He will make me His own too. It works both ways. Glance over at Hebrews 11, verse 16. You see what it says? Let's just look at that quickly here. Hebrews 11 and verse 16 says, now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. When I show that I am not ashamed of Him as my God, He's not ashamed to be called my God. Isn't that awesome? This is something I need to try and strive for, develop more if I don't have it already, a close personal relationship with the Lord. Let's look at three or four verses or passages here now that we can just see generally how God, He helps, He heals, and He gives hope to us when we're in times of trouble. He's able to help us not only with depression, but with many other difficulties in our lives. Depression is likely one of the greatest challenges that we face, though, and can make us question our faith. God's very own inspired Word tells us that we can count on Him to help us in times of trouble. And that's not limited to depression. As we get warmed up, let's just look at a few of these passages. And these verses don't necessarily contain references to one of the big three main points in our lesson, which is seek, wait, and trust. But they convey an image of God who's here to help us through our troubles. And in Psalm 42 and 43, you'll see those verses I have there. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11, and 43, verse 5, are very similar. And saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. But these passages, they also do well to express some thoughts and feelings common to those in distress or depression, cast down, to reassure us He's there to help. So I felt it would be worthwhile to just take a moment to notice some of them. The passage that I chose to use for the title of this lesson, part two, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. From Psalm 46, verse 1, and it goes on to say in the next verse, therefore we will not fear. Psalm 138, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And then Psalm 147, and verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we see that we can count on God. He will be our help when we're in times of trouble. Let's talk now about seek, wait, and trust. We'll look at some passages in just a moment that talk about seeking, waiting, and trusting in the Lord, kind of all in the same context. But I think we'll see as we go through this study that these three principles go hand in hand, and they should not rightfully be separated from one another. If we isolate one from the others, it's really doing a disservice to the Scriptures and to the one trying to understand what's being said. Throughout Psalms, we see these words appear and reappear over and over again. In the New King James Version, a phrase with the word trust that conveys the thought of trusting in the Lord specifically appears about 60 times throughout the Psalms. So, of course, the Psalms are one of the best parts of God's Word for us to read when we are in distress or depressed. The wicked are described as not trusting in God, while He delivers those who do trust in Him. We'll see in the third point of this lesson, which is about trust, but which we won't have time to get to today. If the idea of trusting in the Lord appears that many times, often in Psalms that are a plea to the Lord for help in times of trouble, doesn't it seem like it's probably important? As I mentioned, seeking and waiting are mentioned too, oftentimes close by. The idea of trusting in the Lord is often found close by those other verses, telling us to wait on Him and seek Him. So these ideas must be important for us to deal with our troubles in life. The psalmist often seems to be in distress over sin in his life or over enemies who seek his life. We may not always be pursued by enemies who seek our life physically, but perhaps we can relate to being distressed over the sin in our lives. Quite often, though, distress comes from other things. The recurring call to seek God, to wait for the Lord, and to trust on Him is an underlying or interwoven theme throughout the Psalms. I initially had entitled this lesson, Wait, Seek, and Trust. Then I realized, really, the first step someone has to take is to seek the Lord. For anything else, I must seek Him and His help and pray to Him. Let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, 16 through 21. And this says, turn yourself to me, have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses, look on my affliction and my pain. Forgive all my sins, consider my enemies, for they are many, they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me, let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Let's just notice, I've highlighted the parts of this passage that seem to indicate a call out to the Lord, seeking the Lord. He says, have mercy on me. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain. Deliver me, asking for deliverance, seeking the Lord's help. And then, at the end, I wait for you. And finally, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. So there we see those three principles brought out in this passage. Next, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Again, cry out to the Lord, seeking Him for His help. I waited patiently for the Lord, he begins. Also, there at the end, I will trust in the Lord. He says he will trust in the Lord. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. Let's look at for the final passage here before we get into talking about seeking the Lord specifically. It says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let's notice towards the end there. Pour out your heart before Him. Pour out your heart before Him. Cry out to Him. Seek the Lord for His help. At the beginning, the psalmist says, wait silently for God alone. Wait silently for God alone. And finally, trust in Him at all times, you people. Trust in Him at all times. All right, so moving on, talking about seeking the Lord, specifically seeking the Lord. Let's turn over and notice some passages. Psalm 116 is a really, really good psalm to look at and thinking about seeking the Lord. The first four verses of Psalm 116, let's begin there. It says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. So specifically, we can notice where he talks about calling out to the Lord. He talks about supplications to the Lord, calling upon Him. And let's look at just a couple other verses from Psalm 116. Verse 13 says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 17, I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. So there are many ways in which I can seek Him. In worship, prayer, praise, I can, and times, when do I need to seek Him? Well, at all times, before, during, and after times of trouble. I need to draw near to Him by living obediently so He will hear me. I need to understand that He can and will save me. Well, another point in time, we'll look at how I need to trust Him. Even if my life here on earth is a life of torment, like bullying or who knows what it could be, pain and suffering, if I am faithful to Him, my life after physical death will be an eternal reward for following Him. He will walk by my side and guide me the whole way, and I can lean on Him. But what does it mean to seek? To seek means to search out, try to find, to obtain, discover, to go to, or ask for, request. In the Hymns for Worship song supplement, there's a song, number 110, titled, I Will Call Upon the Lord. It references Psalm 18, verse 3. And this idea in that verse goes along with what we're talking about here. Seeking the Lord involves calling to Him, praying to Him, reading and studying His Word, applying His Word in my life, by living a life of obedience to Him. Seeking the Lord in the way I live, which is very important. Let's talk about the importance of prayer. This is a very important topic. There are many New Testament scriptures that tell us to pray. For instance, to pray without ceasing, to continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant in it. Or that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Of course, we know that James is emphasizing us confessing our trespasses to one another and praying for one another in James 5, verse 16. But nevertheless, the emphasis is on prayer to the Lord. Do we tend to invest time and work into people that are not invested in us? They don't seem to care at all about us. Not usually, though Jesus taught that we should care about others, regardless of whether they treat us with care and concern or not. My point is that we typically would not expect someone to invest a lot of time and effort into us unless we are invested in them. The Lord expects us to show that we are committed to or invested in Him by how we live our lives. I can also show my love and commitment to the Lord by praying to Him. Not just by how much I pray, but by the sincerity of my prayers. Is it from the heart? How much thought did I put into my prayer? Is it all requests for myself, or am I praying for the well-being of others? Am I praying for the spread of the gospel? Do I only pray to the Lord to ask for things, or do I also pray to thank Him for all that He's done for me and to praise Him? So I must not forget to glorify Him and give Him thanks because He's deserving of more praise and thanksgiving than I can possibly give to Him. Do I only pray to the Lord in times of trouble? Why should I expect Him to be there for me in the bad times if I never spend any time praying to Him during the good times? We'll look later at Job 2 and verse 10. Job says there, we need to accept the good and the adversity. But I need to grow in my faithfulness to the Lord. I need to be committed to Him in good times and in bad. And He will be there for me. If I'm not communicating with the Lord, is my heart really in my walk as a Christian? Praying to God, calling out to Him, and asking for His help in time of trouble is what I need to do. This is a vital way in which I seek God and draw near to Him. One of my favorite passages relating to prayer is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we see prayer is very important. I'm sure I didn't pray as much as I should have when I was depressed. But I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop believing in God, but I wasn't serving Him, being the example that I should have to others around me to lead them to Christ. I didn't stop reading my Bible, but I may not have read it and studied it as much as I should have. God is always there. Sometimes we just don't understand how He's working. I need to seek the Lord even in times of trouble, or especially in times of trouble. We know from reading Job that Job must have been in despair and depressed from all that happened to him. We see in chapter 17, verse 1, he says his spirit is broken. If you look over in Job 5, verse 8, Job even says that he would seek God after all that has happened to him. If you remember everything Job went through. And that he would commit his cause to God. Just think about that for a second, considering everything that Job went through. He says that God does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number in verse 9. Though Job asked to speak with God that he might understand why he's going through all of his suffering and trials and to beg deliverance, telling the Lord of his misery and affliction, he retains his integrity. Do I have the faith, the conviction, the integrity, and the courage to seek Him and commit my cause to Him when I'm in the depths of despair like Job? That takes a lot of courage. After everything that he went through, even God challenging him to answer questions only the Lord could answer about the creation and the balance of the universe and everything in it, Job maintains his integrity. He repents. The Lord commands Job's friends who came to comfort him to ask Job to pray for them and to offer up burnt offerings to appease the Lord, because they did not speak what was right concerning God. We should not blame God. Sometimes we want answers when we go through trials and suffering in this life. Job wanted answers. He didn't understand why he was going through the affliction that he had to endure. God considered Job righteous, a man of integrity before Him. He spoke to Job. We need to understand, though, we may question in much the same way that Job did, but we must be careful not to blame God for evil things that happen in the world. Jesus said that only one is good, and that is God, Matthew 19, verse 17. James tells us that the Lord cannot be tempted, nor does He tempt anyone, in James chapter 1, verse 13. He also says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, in verse 17. We're told to endure, James 1, verse 12. James says that the testing of our faith produces patience and perfects or completes us, in verse 4 of chapter 1. Psalm 138:8 says that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Most importantly, we're told to ask the Lord in faith, with no doubting, James 1, verse 6. We must trust Him. As I mentioned, we'll talk about that later in this lesson. So let's look at some passages now, going back to Psalms. Talking about seeking the Lord. Psalm 6, verses 2 through 4 says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake. So they call out to the Lord, seeking Him, seeking His help. In verse 9 of Psalm 6, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. In Psalm 18, verse 6, the psalmist writes, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Talking about how God hears us when we cry out to Him. Let's look now over to Psalm 42. First two verses we should probably be familiar with. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That attitude of seeking Him. In verse 4 of Psalm 42, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. It's talking about pouring out my soul within me, pouring out my soul to God. Psalm 42, verse 8, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me a prayer to the God of my life. Praying to the Lord, asking for His help. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 3, talks about crying out to God. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice. He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. So crying out to God with my voice, He gave ear to me, seeking the Lord. Psalm 88, the first four verses. Let's look over there and we'll move on to the next point. Psalm 88, verses 1 through 4. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before You. Let my prayer come before You. Incline Your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I'm counted with those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man who has no strength, crying out day and night before the Lord. He asks that his prayer come before the Lord, that Lord incline His ear to his cries. So just a few verses talk about seeking the Lord. Psalm 73, verse 24 says that the Lord and His word are my counselors. Isaiah 9:6 talks about the different titles of the Lord, including wonderful and counselor. He's my counselor. The psalmist talks about seeking God's word so much that his eyes failed. We need to seek His word. He meditated on it all the day and night. He says he would have perished in his affliction if it had not been for the law of the Lord. We're so grounded in God's Word, we'll be able to deal with the troubles that plague us in life. That plague us in life because we're close to God and we know how He would have us to deal with problems in our life. So let's look at a few verses. We're probably familiar with Psalm 1, verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law He meditates day and night. In His law He meditates day and night. Talking about the blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And then let's turn over to Psalm 119. And we'll look at a few verses over in Psalm 119. It says in verse 82 of Psalm 119, "My eyes fail from seeking Your word, saying, 'When will You comfort me?'" Down 10 verses, verse 92, "Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." Verse 97, "Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse 123, "My eyes fail from seeking Your salvation and Your righteous word." Verse 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on Your word." So seeking His word is important. Says there, "Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." So it must be pretty important. Let's talk about not seeking the Lord and how it can make things worse. Turning away from God, turning to psychologists and psychiatrists' solutions when they suggest to remove religion and God from our lives is not the answer. It's only a temporary solution. Really, it's not a solution at all, false solution, to make us feel better and ignore sin in our lives. Even if it works for someone until the day they die, well, then what? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." You see, I've got it up there on the screen, Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none who does good." They're lost. And then what good did it do for someone to go through life abandoning God, refusing to accept His laws of right and wrong, so as to escape any feelings of guilt that they might have? Look over at Matthew 16, verse 26. "What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Psalm 9, verse 17 says that the wicked in all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. That's in Psalms. Psalm 10, verse 13 says that the wicked renounce God and presume to think God will not require an account. We know otherwise. Guilt is not bad, as many worldly philosophers who are wise in their own eyes would have us to think. Look over at 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. I don't have this one up on the screen, but it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And seeking the Lord brings His assurance. We gain assurance and hope when we seek Him. The fact that Jesus died for our sins, we're forgiven, gives us peace and assurance as Christians. Of course, I must seek Him by living faithfully and obediently according to His will. Let's look at a few passages here. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 8 says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When You said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to You, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So seeking the Lord, seeking His help, brings His assurance. Look there at Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. It says, "And you will call upon me, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So he says there, you'll seek me and find me when? When you search for me with all your heart. You seek after me. Of course, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask it, it will be given to you. Seek it, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." We've got to seek Him to find Him, to get that help and deliverance for Him to save us. Let's look at some verses that talk about how the Lord is our deliverer and that He hears our supplications. Psalm 13, verses 2 through 5. It says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." In Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7, says, "Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications." The Lord heard His supplications. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I'll praise Him." You'll notice several of these verses were focusing in on seeking the Lord, but they mention trusting too. Let's look at Psalm 61, the first two verses. Psalm 61, 1 and 2 says, "Hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And then Psalm 118, verses 5 through 7 says, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. Called on the Lord in my distress." It says, "He answered me. He answered me." Psalm 116, as I mentioned earlier, is another really good passage to look at regarding seeking the Lord. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 from the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus tells us that God loves us and cares for us. He'll help us through the everyday anxieties of life when we have problems. Worrying does no good. We need to seek God first. Of course, 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says that the Lord cares deeply for His people. He cares for all people. He sent Jesus to die for us and be the sacrifice for our sins. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants good for us. Then let's notice how those who seek the Lord, how they seek the Lord versus the wicked who do not seek Him. Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." It says, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you. And He does not forsake them." He doesn't forsake them who seek Him. Psalm 10, verse 4, contrasting with that, says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." Well, the Lord and those who care about me will help me to get better. Christians can talk all we want about how prayer and reading your Bible can help those who are depressed. And it certainly can, and it should. However, sometimes there's some other things involved in treating depression that are vitally necessary. See, often treating depression involves telling someone else about your problems. Just as the Lord will help us when we pray to Him and communicate with Him about our trials and difficulties in life, often our friends and even people we don't even know will help us when they find out we are in need. I need to use every resource at my disposal to overcome my depression. And that includes relying on the Lord, as well as my Christian brothers and sisters, and possibly doctors too. Sometimes we pray to the Lord, we ask for help. Then we refuse to look to any other avenues the Lord may use to help us with our problems. I may need to get real help from someone who knows how to deal with the type of problems that I have. I may need to find someone that can help me put things back in proper perspective in my life and really help me start to recover from my depression, especially those who can give me good, godly counsel. And that's where we're going to have to stop tonight, but we'll talk in a continuation of this lesson at another time about waiting for the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and about trusting in the Lord. But if you've not been seeking the Lord in your life, and you need to repent and turn back to Him, or if you've decided that you now need to seek Him in your life, repenting and confessing Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you can come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Walk a new life alive in Christ, seeking Him in everything you do. But if you have a need, please let it be known as we stand and sing.